Our next speaker is Kate Levine. Kate is an associate professor of law at the Cardozo Law School at Yeshiva University. She's going to talk about how we prosecute police. Kate, you're up.
Thanks, Larry. So here's my proposition. If you're worried about police brutality and about mass incarceration, stop advocating for more prosecutions of the police and focus on reducing our reliance on policing. So highly publicized killings by police, like that of Eric Garner and Breonna Taylor, have led to outrage when the officers involved don't get charged. One of the things that's most often noted is that police get treated way better by our criminal legal system than anyone else. This is true for numerous reasons. First of all, thanks to the law enforcement officers' bills of rights, union lobbying, and collective bargaining agreements, police get treated better during investigation. They often have the right to have a lawyer, a positive right to a lawyer, right to sleep, to eat, to take bathroom breaks. They can't be threatened. They can't be induced to confession by promises of leniency. They can't be lied to. These tactics are not only allowed on civilians, but are part and parcel of the interrogation playbook. Police officers are treated better by prosecutors who rely on police unions come election time and on police every day to make all their other cases. When it comes to the police, prosecutors take a long time to charge. They present exculpatory information to grand juries, and they only charge police with crimes they believe they committed. With ordinary citizens, they charge immediately. They present only evidence of guilt to grand juries, and they charge with every conceivable crime, of which there are many, with the hopes that they can bargain down the charge to the charge they actually believe the person deserves. And police are treated better by judges and juries, who assume police are telling the truth, despite the fact that they lie often enough that there's a term coined just for them. It's called testa-lying. On the other hand, civilian defendants are assumed to be lying, assumed to be doing whatever they can to stay out of prison. Even civilian witnesses are treated with more skepticism than police officers who are on trial. The reaction to these realities is for most to say, let's treat the police as harshly as we treat our ordinary citizens. Take away these advantages and throw them in prison just as we do to everyone else. Interrogate them as harshly, bring charges immediately, stack those charges up, and negotiate later, disbelieve their self-defense claims. But I want to argue that this is the exact wrong response if you're worried about our over-reliance on prison and our scourge of police brutality. Instead, you should want to give other suspects and defendants all these rights. Don't let the police coerce confessions out of people like they did with the Central Park Five by telling kids they can go home to their mothers, by interrogating them for hours and not letting them take a break. You want prosecutors to take self-defense claims seriously. Not doing that is what ends up with folks like Santonia Brown, a 16-year-old who killed an abusive man to whom she was being involuntarily prostituted, sentenced to decades in prison. Okay, but what about police brutality? How do we stop that? In my opinion, police brutality is a systemic problem, not primarily one of bad apples. Policing's history will tell you that. It was born in the South out of slave patrols. As an organization, it has always had a mission of controlling and dominating poor people of color. Police are trained, sometimes rightly, to be scared to believe that that many people out there are lying in wait to harm them. And this is so despite, you know, the fact that things have gotten a lot safer in recent past. So if you put police in situations where they may be scared, even when it's a young black child playing with a toy gun, or if you allow them to bash down a door in the middle of the night, you're going to end up with dead civilians. The only way to reduce police violence is to reduce our reliance on police, period. And the only way to do that is to break our addiction to the criminal legal system as our society's answer to every social problem. People say there's no justice for Breonna, and I agree. But is incarcerating the police who killed her justice for her? I think more justice is to do what Louisville did. Ban no-knock warrants. Stop allowing the cops to go on drug hunts in the middle of the night. If you want to save someone like Eric Garner, who was choked for selling loose cigarettes, get rid of laws that make it illegal to sell loose cigarettes. Take power away from the criminal legal system, and you take these situations away from the police. If you want to see fewer people in prison and fewer people getting killed, stop advocating for prosecution and start advocating for reduction of our prison-backed criminal legal system. Start investing in alternatives to policing, like sending trained medical professionals to help mentally ill people, like teaching people to resolve disputes among themselves rather than calling the cops when mad at their neighbors, and divest from the police to reinvest in education, childcare, welfare, etc. Even if you don't want the government spending more money, they can spend that same money on things that are proven to uplift and create public safety, rather than a system that's designed to perpetuate itself, create more violence, and maintain an us versus them fiction that allows police to act with impunity and then be treated like heroes. We need to break our addiction to the criminal legal system. When we focus on treating police as badly as we treat everyone else, we're feeding the beast rather than giving it the starvation diet it needs. Thanks.
Oh, that was excellent. Thank you, Kate.